Get to the first Gemara here that discusses Tochin. This is the first source. Amar of Papa, we only have till 8:50, so 10 minutes shorter than usual. Amar Papa, Haiman de Parm Silka Chai Mishim Tochin. Somebody who grinds and chops beets, Silka is beets, they have violated Tochin. They have violated Tochin. Amar of Menasha, Hai man de salat silti chai mishum tochin. Rav Menashe says that if you chop wood chips for sawdust, so then you have also violated the prohibition of tochin. And I guess you would use the sawdust for, what do you use sawdust for?
Heat.
For fires, yeah.
Heating. For fires, for heating fires, yeah. So that they would cut it up for the sawdust. So those are the two statements of the Gemara. That's really the only two statements in the very beginning when it discusses the 39 malachos. Those are the only two statements of the Gemara with regards to grinding. I think the big question on this is, which almost all the earlier commentators address, is what's being added here? But what's the purpose of this statement? Specifically the first statement, it says that if you chop beets into small pieces, so then you have violated grinding, tochin. So why would you think otherwise? Why would you specify beets? Why... It's true for anything. If you grind anything, so then you're in violation of tochin. It would seem to be that if you grind is just to cut it up into small pieces, so then you have violated tochin. Why does the Gemara feel the need to tell us when you grind up beets or when you grind up the wood chips, so then you have violated tochin? What's unique about these two examples?
Well, this is I'll tell you, I guess, that everything else you can cut for the sake of food, you can chop for the sake of eating a meal.
Yeah.
So now you're assuming that these beets are not going to be used for food, they'll be used for dye.
And you're saying what, if you were to cut it up for food, then it's not a problem?
Yeah.
Why is it not a problem?
We know you're allowed to cut.
How do you know?
You can't grind flour.
But Dez is actually addressing a great point, which you could really address even before this Gemara. Tochin means to cut up into small pieces. So how far do you take this? Does that mean I can't cut with my fork and knife? Am I not allowed to cut anything? How far does this go? We'll see in the coming weeks that there are a lot of exceptions to this rule. But just before we get into it,
seems like a mistranslation into English,
yeah.
Because grinding does not imply. I mean,
no. Grinding implies very small.
Grinding implies something
it's
that's ground
action.
Up is like
into small pieces.
Not into small pieces where it's taken from a solid state into almost like a powdered state.
Yeah. So that is an important point also. We'll probably get to that in the next class. This is not just grinding. This is also...
Because
the English translation is chopping. This is cutting. This is really cutting.
Yeah.
So the Gemara, you want to say... Well, another explanation might be for the Gemara is that it's not just grinding, but it's also chopping. That the Gemara might be adding here that the violation is also just chopping and cutting. So I think Dez's point is a good point. Once the Gemara tells us that it does include chopping, so then how far do you take it?
Mm-hmm.
So then, cutting your meal should then be a problem. It's not a problem, but then why isn't that a problem?
Because this is not the final step. I mean, you're grinding the beets or chopping the beets, and then later on you're doing something else with it.
How do you know that?
Why else would you do it?
Okay.
Unless it's for a salad.
Okay, but it's a great point. It's a very good point that you're saying here. You want to say that the only time it's a prohibition is if it's part of a process.
Yeah.
That if it's within a process, then that's when you are violating it. If it's not within a process, I guess if you were to cut it up to eat, it's not called a process. That's to use right away, let's say, which is, we had a similar discussion within Borer. So then it wouldn't be a violation. So it's a very important point. Some of the earlier commentators do seem to suggest such an idea, that it's only when it's within a process. Okay, any other points? But I think the broader question with regards to all of this is how far do we take this when it comes to chopping? How far does it go? And I think the underlying question really is, and this is something we've dealt with regards to all the forbidden activities, with regards to all the malachos, is what makes this a significant activity? What makes this something which is chashuv, which is significant enough such that it becomes usur on Shabbos? It's prohibited on Shabbos. Why is what makes this What's a fundamental change that occurs through the action of chopping, through the action of grinding?
It's like flour; it becomes a totally new entity.
Okay, so when you chop it up, or if you were to grind it, so then it becomes totally different. So then that would be one suggestion. Okay, that these are all great points. We're gonna have to go into each one, but it might not be true that it's only in a case where it turns into fine flour. That's not the only case where you violate tochin, grinding or chopping. So what you always have to ask, what is the significant change that's occurring here, such that this is viewed as chashuv? This is an important activity. We'll see. Also, some of the Rishonim say that sometimes chopping is going to be permissible because it's equivalent. Because then it's just like when you put something in your mouth and you eat. So what are you doing while you're eating? You're breaking it down into smaller pieces. So that's permissible. You're allowed to eat on Shabbos. So. Everyone should come out of the class. You're not allowed to eat on Shabbos.
You're allowed to do a lot of stuff, though, like when it's closer to...
To eating.
Like you're allowed to sing on Shabbos, for instance. I guess that's Darabon, though. That you wouldn't be allowed to. Okay,
well, why would it... Why would it be even prohibited?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need a reason for it to be prohibited.
Yeah.
Instrument.
Right. You're not allowed to make music on Shabbos, but you're allowed to sing.
Because the instruments.
That's
all
Darabon.
But they do ask... Cutting should be similar to eating. So if eating is permissible, so then why are certain types of cutting not permissible?
One question. These beets, shouldn't we know what the beets are going to be used for? Like, I would have thought that if they...
So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how they explain this.
Okay.
We'll see.
I don't understand your question about the eating. I mean, we've seen before by other malachos that if you do something derech achila, so that... It is
right, but I don't think that's what they're saying. They're comparing, we'll get to it, but they're comparing, they're saying that if eating is permissible and it's chopping it down into smaller pieces, so I would have thought so, but the very fact that they say that, it must be that their understanding is slightly different, which is that it's not just because it's the normal way to eat, and when we've had this in the past, that if it's just the normal way to eat, it's allowed, like by Borer. In the last malacha we did, if it's the normal way to eat, so then it's permissible.
So why would that not apply here?
So it might apply, but I think perhaps their idea is a little stronger. It's saying that, you're not really what's being accomplished here. It's like you're eating. This is something which is just, this is not necessarily a significant action. We'll get to it when we see it. We'll get to it.
So
yeah.
Smoking obviously is forbidden because you're lighting it.
Yes.
But what about chewing tobacco? Because you're not swallowing it, you're spitting it out.
Chewing tobacco.
Oh, because it's not a chila. But you are grinding it.
Oh, yeah. Grinding it? And it's turning into smaller pieces? Is it?
You grind it?
You don't.
You just like leave it there.
You just leave it there.
I don't know. I've never done it. But don't you chew it? It's called chewing tobacco.
It's called chew, but I don't
yeah,
think it's
Yeah, but chew
actually,
doesn't mean that it
I think
breaks, it doesn't break down, right?
I did it, once. I was just like, put it here, and the tobacco and the nicotine just like slowly seeps into your
so
gums.
So that be forbidden on Shabbat?
To just chew it?
But not even chewing it. You,
and you like, ew, this to release the juices, right?
Yeah, but then you spit it out after, right?
You spit the all your juices out of your mouth.
The juices or the tobacco itself, the leaf?
The end process, yeah. You take it out. But you're not when they're spitting.
I have to see this. To know.
It's kind of like you're not really eating it. So I'm just wondering.
Yeah, but I don't think it's breaking down. It doesn't sound like it's breaking down.
Bring some in for everyone.
Okay, so let's see how the Rishonim do with this Gemara. I'm going to skip the Rishonim for now. We'll get back to the Rishonim source 2. Let's go to source 3. Tosos has a very interesting point here. Tosos says, "Hi, man, depar misilka." When you break down beets, you cut beets. He says, "Dafka basilka shayach tchina." Only with regards to beets is there a problem of tochen? Is there a problem of grinding, of cutting down? Avol shar ochlin shari. But other foods are completely permissible. Other foods are completely permissible. Only beets, or I would really say only beets and anything which is like beets. We have to know what's unique about beets that makes it different from other food. But it only applies to beets and the same characteristics of beets that there's a problem of tochin, but not with regards to any other food. So what's the difference? What's the difference between beets and anything else?
The leaves are edible. Does that mean?
The leaves are edible.
Then you can eat the leaves.
They're going to say the exact opposite.
Maybe it's inedible in its raw state.
It's an inedible. Oh, excellent. So it's inedible in its raw state.
I eat the beans. Raw beets all the time.
Oh, I see. It's raw.
Especially, you mean unground.
The Gemara was written long before you were around.
You didn't know you couldn't.
Yeah. So the Gemara is under the assumption, also in Brachos, that beets, I think, are not edible unless they're cooked.
Or ground.
Maybe.
No, like, really?
Before eating raw beets, before
you have to grind them.
What do you call it again?
Woody.
Mashed,
yeah.
Grated.
Okay, fine. But then that would fit with this. That would fit with this, because this is prior to...
No, because he's saying... No, because this would be tochen. Like, the grating that you're doing is the final step. He's saying, once you grate it, it's fine. You need it, I think. Right?
But before you grind it, so it's not edible.
That's fine.
Fine, so that would fit with what Rabbi Lichtman's saying. Before you go through the grinding process, it is not edible. That's fine. So...
Wait, what's this? Why?
We'll see... If it becomes edible through grinding, so then that's a significant action right there, right? It's not edible, and then you make it edible. Mm-hmm. That's a significant action.
How does Tosus explain the wood chips?
Well,
they weren't edible before you chopped them up.
They're still not.
Yeah, but we explain for the wood chips. You're then using the wood chips for something else. So just with regards to the wood chips, I think it goes back to the fact that it's part of a process. The wood chips are then used for something else. It's used for a fire.
There's more than one way to make a significant change. You can either
That's an additional point. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get to a bunch of different ways to make a significant change. But ultimately, it has to be that there is a significant change here. What we see from Tosfos is that there are cases where it's not viewed as a significant change. And that's if you have food, which is already edible, perhaps that's his distinction. It's already edible, so then by cutting it up, doesn't create any significant change. Right? If it's not part of a process. If it's not part of a process, and also it's the act alone is not making it edible, is not turning it into something which is edible, so then it's not a significant change. If it's not a significant change, so then it's permissible. Because the only time that tochen should be a problem, just like for any of the other malachos, for any of the other forbidden activities, is only when there's a significant change which occurs.
So according to Tosus, grating carrots would be okay.
Yes. 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 Not just Tosus. Let's look at the next source. The Ran... What?
It's the opposite.
The next verse?
The Ran, yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Let's read it.
I think it's similar. I think it's similar. It's not. I don't think it's the opposite. I think it's in line with what we're saying. Kasav Arad, the Davka Silka, Shuhu Mechusar Hechsher Acher, the Hainu Bishel, Vilafuke Pas Vachol Dover Haroy Lachila, Below Mechusar Hechsher Acher, the Mutter, the Ochla, the Afis. He quotes from the Ra'ah. The Ran is quoting from another opinion, the Ra'ah, who says that it only applies to beets. Why? Because the beets, they still require another action. They require another action in order for them to be edible. You have to cut them up, but then you also have to cook them. Mm-hmm. It requires cooking them for it to be edible. But if you already have bread, baked bread is in front of you, and you were to slice up the baked bread, so then that's already fit. That's already edible. Okay, it's fit for consumption. And so therefore, you are not accomplishing anything. He calls it ochla da'afris, which is a hard phrase to translate. We've had it in the past. It's like you're breaking down food. It's cutting up food. It's like...
Where did we have that in the past?
Ochla da'afris we had by... I believe we had by Dush. We had ochla da'afris. But we've had that phrase where it's like you're eating it. It's equivalent to eating. You're breaking down... Nothing significant is occurring. If you have to cut it up so that you then cook it, so it's part of a process, so then it's part of a process. It's part of a significant process. That process will lead to these beets at the end of the day, it'll be edible after the whole process. But
like the way that I read it the first time is that because it's mechusar hechsher, because it's missing a step after you're finished grinding, that it's... That you're not allowed to do it because it's part of the process. But if this were the last step in the process, like if it would no longer be missing a step, and it's not so like that, it sounds from his words, so it'd be okay.
But it's not true.
That I'm not sure about.
It's not true because you could eat ground beets.
Apparently
that's so, what we learned tonight. So that's the most significant thing we learned tonight.
The Ron
should have been here.
That you can eat. Because there are a whole bunch of vegetables that have to be cooked.
Yeah, so that would be included in that. I don't think that's what I'm saying. It's,
but
it's beets and
have to be cut and cooked.
But I don't know if he's saying that these have to be cut either. It's just it's the very fact that you're cutting it to then cook it makes it part of a process. The fact that you are adding cutting within the stages of making this ready for you to eat, so then it just becomes part of the process, even if it's not necessary. It might not be necessary, but you are now including it as part of the process.
So if you're not going to cook it, are you allowed to grind it? If you're going to eat it, just you're going to grind some beets and eat them.
So if, again, you're right. He's saying that it's part of a process. So the literal understanding of this opinion is that it has to be part of a process. Now, I would then, let's see right here for you.
Thanks.
But then it's possible that that's not the only time that it's a prohibition. It's not that, it might not be that only when it's part of a process is it a prohibition, but it might include other scenarios as well where it's significant, a significant change. If you want as an example.
And this isn't a significant change.
Which one?
This part of a process. Like, he didn't make it ready to be eaten.
No, but at least as long as it's part of a process, that itself is significant. Because it's part of a process.
But it sounds like see, you don't think that he means that if it were the last stage of a process, if it were the whole process,
I'm not
that
sure.
Would be okay.
I'm not sure.
Because like that sounds like it is a significant change, and it would be okay. At least you could read it that way.
I don't think so. His. I don't think you could conclude that from what he's saying.
It says shehuma chusar.
I know, but he's coming to exclude the case of bread.
Right.
It's coming to. He's not specifically.
Right.
So he's specifically coming to exclude the case of bread, where bread is edible prior to this whole process. Yeah.
When the Ran is quoting this Ra here, and he's saying Dafka Silka Shemachoser Hechsher Acher Dahinu Bishul. Bishul is just one potential form of Hechsher that it could be missing.
It's possible. So that
or
that's
it could be. He's not saying that the reason why you'd be chayev for cutting it is because. In other words, is he saying the reason?
He says mechusar hechsher. It's missing something to make it complete.
But then he tells us what it's missing.
In this case, it's bishul.
But it's not missing bishul because it's missing tochen. It means in its original state, it's not edible.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right. So is it not edible because it needs another step, which could be bishul or?
He says it's missing another step, hechsher acher. It's still missing another step.
I don't understand what he's doing with bishul. There's potentially two ways to make your beet edible. Supposedly, right?
Before I heard what Avram Dov said, I just assumed that you had to cook it, not that just
even
grinding
after
on.
Tochen.
That's what I assume. That's what it sounds like from what he's saying here.
So then what's the significance of the tochen then? Because doing the tochen is not doing anything. It's still inedible after tochen.
It's true, but I think that's the point. It's part of a process,
But I don't need that process because I can cook beets without
the tochen. So that's what Dez was asking. So I think just the fact that it's part of a process, you are now including this as part of a process alone that will lead to it becoming edible. You are now including this as part of the process.
But this step that I'm doing it is not making any significance in the process. Because it will become edible with this stuff or without.
I'm not
this
sure.
Stuff.
I'm not sure.
That's why I wonder why he's
I'm
saying.
Not sure because he says mechusar hechsher acher. It requires another. It's lacking another hechsher, another way.
For example.
No, but
in its current state.
But he says hechsher acher. He says hechsher acher, which implies that
this is
part of the process to make this edible. I don't know the metzias like
if
exactly.
If you grind it up, it'll cook more quickly.
If you what? If you grind it up, it'll cook more quickly. Yeah.
But
this
enough.
He's saying that this adds to the this stage alone also adds to that process. He says hefsher acher. It's not just he doesn't say it's mechusar hefsher. It's lacking something to cause it to become edible. He says it's lacking another step to make it become edible, which implies that this step also is part of that process to make it become edible.
So let's say for example I had raw challah dough. So that bread needs to be baked. It's not edible in its current state. It needs to be baked. So if I would take that bread and break it up into different pieces before baking it, so you know that's a step in the process?
I'm not sure if...
It sounds very funny to say that that's a step in the process when it's totally...
No, so that case I'm not sure about.
What's the malacha there?
That's what?
What's the malacha?
It would be tochen.
I'm not sure. If the breaking it up helps within the process of making it edible, let's say if it cooks fast, if it bakes faster, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
I would say that without more evidence, you've got to assume that beets need to be ground Otherwise,
yeah, that's what I would assume also. I would assume that also.
The same problem applies to pumpkin and potato and squash and everything else.
You can cook beets without grinding them.
But I think
it seems to me that it's necessary. Yeah, you have to assume within this. I think it seems like you can.
Maybe the beets from back then are different from the beets that we have.
No, it's possible. Yeah, I think it's definitely possible.
You know, corn is edible now, but at one point
it's definitely possible.
And Rabbi Weinberg was telling us that carrots could not ever be eaten. Remember, carrots had to be cooked.
I was thinking about this. We've seen in
brachos. Yeah, for brachos, that the carrots
they didn't eat carrots raw.
Yeah.
There you go. So it's
the Gemara also says the same thing about beets. Mm.
Okay, so
well, then same thing about beets.
Yeah. Okay. If you turn the page to the second page, we have the opinion of the Rambam. And I quoted two sources for the Rambam. I'm just skipping. Let's start from the beginning of the first source in the Rambam. This place in the Rambam, he's not really discussing each specific malacha, each specific forbidden activity. This is at the very beginning where he discusses the laws of Shabbos. He says that there's a difference between avos, the primary categories, and then the subcategories, the toldos, which is what we did at the very, very beginning. So in that discussion, he mentions tochi, he mentions grinding. And he says, "Hatolda hi amalacha hadoma la'av me'ilu ha'avos." He says, "Hatolda, a subcategory, is a forbidden action which is similar to the primary category." Without getting into the details of that, he then says, "How is it? Case of what is an example of this?" He says, "Hamechatech es hayorek ma'at. If you cut the vegetable a little bit, levashlo, to then cook it." He says this is a violation of tochen, of grinding. He says this is just to cut up the vegetables into small pieces would be a violation of grinding. Why? Because what is tochen? Shehatochen, the av, the primary violation is shehatochen lokeach. Shehatochen lokeach guf echad mechalko lgufim harbe. He says, tochen, what is the primary violation of tochen? That primary violation is when you take guf echad, one object, and you break it up into smaller gufim, into smaller bodies, into smaller parts. And anybody who does something similar to this is in violation of tochen. That then becomes a tolda, a subcategory of that primary category of cutting it up into small pieces. Now, what's interesting is that he says hamechatech asayarek ma'at. Just going back to the tolda, he says that you cut up the vegetables. Oh, it's not just cutting them up a little bit, but what is it? It's what's the next word? Levashlo, to cook it. So you are cutting up the vegetables in order to cook. The implication being that if I were to cut up these vegetables, not in order to cook, if it's just to cut them up. So then that would not be a biblical violation. It might be a rabbinic violation, but it's definitely not a biblical violation. It sounds like that it's specifically in order to cook. And he says the same thing in the, if you skip to the next source, he says the same thing, ha-machazik ha-sayarik, dak-dak, kidei levashlo, ha-reza told us tochein v'chayv. He says also over here that if you cut it up in order to cook, so then there's also a subcategory of tochein, and it is a violation. It's a biblical violation of tochen, of grinding. So here too, he also says that it has to be in order to cook. Okay? So, just to summarize the Rambam says that the primary violation of tochen, the primary violation of tochen is to take something which has one guf, one entity, and to break it up into smaller pieces. That's the primary violation of that. And then he says that
Levashlo.
No, he doesn't mention Levashlo there.
Oh, wait.
When he discusses the primary. Mm. Within the subcategories, the toldos, he says that the way you violate the tolda, the subcategory, is if you cut it up in order to cook. It has to be in order to cook. Okay, that's what the Rambam says. Now, with regards to the subcategory alone, just to focus on the subcategory, is that the same explanation as the previous opinion that we saw in source 4 in the Ran? the opinion that says that it has to go from inedible to edible, right? Essentially, it has to be part of a process where it's going from inedible to edible. That's what the Ran says. So, does the Rambam agree to that?
Yeah.
You think yes? Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody want to disagree?
I think it's not necessary. It's not the same because the Rambam's focus is on cooking, not eating.
It's on cooking, and in fact, he just says yarek, which is all vegetables.
Yeah.
It's not specifically beets.
Anything, but including
it's all vegetables, including edible vegetables. So he seems to be saying that it's not about a process going from inedible to edible. It's just about being part of a process where you are then cooking it.
Ending up cooking.
You end up cooking it. Right? That's what it seems to be. So it's entirely possible that it is edible. And if you were to cut it up in order to cook, you'd still violate tochin. As opposed to the previous opinion. The previous opinion seems to say that the focus is on that change, that transformation of being going from inedible to edible. Okay? So the first opinion, one second, the first opinion says that what makes it significant is that it's part of a process where it goes from tochin goes from inedible to edible. And according to the Rambam, he has some focus here of it being part of a process of it being in order to cook. At least his example here is where it's part of a process to cook. That's what the Rambam says. Yeah, it does.
You can't cook on Shabbos. So obviously, if you are cutting all this up for the sake of cooking,
yeah,
you'd be preparing for something you're going to do after Shabbos.
Well, you're also violating something currently.
Well,
on Shabbos. So, I'm not sure if it makes a difference. But right now, you're also violating something on Shabbos by cutting it up. So why wouldn't you then just go ahead and cook it? But I don't think it makes a difference, to be honest. But the point is that you're performing an action which could be for a process which you'll cook after Shabbos also. It's also, I don't think it makes a difference whether you plan on cooking it on Shabbos or after Shabbos.
Don't you assume that the cooking that's potentially going to happen here is only going to happen after Shabbos?
So what? Let's say that's true. It's still part of a process.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the cooking happens after Shabbos, it's still part of that process. Okay, so the Rambam seems to say that in order to violate it, it has to be part of a process. Now, the cooking could be an example. It could be that the cooking is just an example. Especially since he's of the opinion that it doesn't have to go from inedible to edible. You could just say it's just part of a process. And cooking is an example of where cutting it up would be part of that overall process where you cut something up and then you put and then you cook it, because it's easier to cook it if you cut it up. That's what the Rambam says. The Minchas Chinuch in the next source explains the Rambam. And it's very interesting Minchas Chinuch. I just quoted part of it. So going to page 3 in source 7. The Minchas Chinuch says, the Svaras HaRambam Nira Dumya D'Tchina Ba'inon Kimo Tochin Tvua La'achar HaTchina Ein Ochlin Adayin Rak Ayidei Bishol. So he says that the Tochin that's necessary to violate Shabbos has to be similar, has to be comparable to the tochin that occurred in the Mishkan. It has to be similar to the tochin that the grinding that occurred in the Mishkan, where they would grind the tefuah, the wheat kernels. Tochin tefuah la'achar atchina, after they would cut it up, ain ochlan adayin, they wouldn't eat it until rak ayidei bishul. First they would have to cook it. So over there it was part of a process. And then he says,
does ain ochlan mean they didn't eat it or they couldn't eat it?
Keep reading.
I think they couldn't, because if you keep reading, they couldn't eat it. He says, "O afilu hachanami," even if, I think he's saying here, "afilu hachanami," that it is edible. Im chotech, if you cut it up, kidei levashlo, in order to cook, it's part of that process. Have a tchina, that is tochin. Tochin when it's part of a process. Even if it's edible, you cut it up in order to cook it. That is a problem of tochin. Aval kedei leechol b'lo tikun lo have a dumya d'tchinas tvua. if you just cut it up in order to eat it right away, there's no next step in the process. So then that's not comparable to what happened in the Mishkan. And I think there's a typo here, but I'm not 100% sure. But I think it's umayshna lo es bishinov oshe mechatech kodem sheyakal leachol. Ein svar sheyatochen b'chi agavim. He says, he adds another point here. There's a second point here. The first point is that it has to be similar to what happened in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, it was part of a process where they would then cook it. So too, in order to violate tochen, it has to be part of that process where it's ultimately there to cook. And then he says, also, what's the difference between grinding in your mouth? When we eat, we take an entity and it turns into smaller pieces in our mouth. What's the difference between that and also cutting anything which is already edible? It's not part of any process. You're just cutting it up to then consume right away. So then what's the difference between the two? If one is permissible, the other one should also be permissible. It's the same thing. What's the difference whether it's in my mouth or whether it's on the plate? You're cutting it up to then use right away. It's not part of a specific process. So then it shouldn't be a violation. So I think he's mentioning two points here. One is that it's comparable, has to be comparable to what happened in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, it was part of a process. And the second point is that it should be permissible if it's not part of a process, because then if you're just cutting up to use right away, so then it's equivalent to eating. When you eat also, you put it in your mouth and it cuts it up and it's edible. So he's saying that it has to be part of a process.
And eating is not considered a process.
Just consuming it right away is not. So I think it's. I don't think it's. Well, it's not part of a process. Well, what do you mean? Within the digestive system.
Eating. Is that
what
you're asking? Not digesting, absorbing.
Yeah. So I think part of it is that it has to be part of a significant process. I mean, you have to define what does significant mean. Right. But it has to be part of a significant process. The Rambam tells us one example is cooking. Yeah, one example is cooking. So
cooking is a significant process, but like if you're cutting up vegetables to make a salad and then you put salad dressing on it, like is that significant?
So I'm not sure.
We think that even if it's edible, but you plan on doing something else to it, it sounds like that's still a problem. But we don't know whether this is a significant.
Based on the Rambam, I'll say as follows: the Rambam says, what's the primary category of tochen? What's that primary category of tochen? Is when you take one object and you divide it up into smaller objects. So essentially, you have a new entity here. It's divided up into smaller pieces. It's at least it's gufim harbe. It's smaller pieces. So then he says that also if it's part of a process, that's a subcategory. Once it's part of that process, it's a subcategory. So
I'm confused. That's a subcategory, or that's a criteria for?
No, he calls it a subcategory. He says that's not the primary. That's a subcategory. That's a tolda.
How is that a tolda? That's just another version of. I mean, it's not even another version. It's just an extra criteria to what you did. Confused.
Oh, okay. So it's a good question. So I would say as follows: the primary category, and this is what some explain it. The primary category is grinding, as the way we understand grinding, like we mentioned before. It's turning into fine flour. So to turn something into fine flour, that's changing the entity completely. Right? You're completely changing the entity. If I were to cut something up into just pieces, so then I'm not changing the entity. I just have that same entity, and it's put into pieces. But if it's part of a process where then you're going to cook it, it's part of that overall process. So then it's part of a process where it's going to have a new identity. So even though the primary category is where it's changing it, where it's going into very fine flour, it's grinding it so that that act alone makes it into a totally different entity. So then a subcategory would be a similar idea, a similar end result of where it completely changes, but the point is that you're cutting it in a way where it's part of a process where it will then, in the end, have a new shame, it would have a new characteristics to it because it's ultimately going to be cooked. So that's how I'd explain it. So in terms of the salad...
So just to get back to the machlokes between the Ran and the Rambam.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the Ran would say that you actually have to make it, that the tochen itself has to be making a significant change. That the tochen itself has to be making it edible or doing something like
that. The Ran doesn't say the tochen has to make it edible. You still need the cooking to make it edible. the tochen adds, it helps in the process of making it edible. For the Ran, the change that has to occur is that it has to go from inedible to edible. That's what the Ran says. The only time you violate tochen is if it goes from inedible to edible, within that process. Now that process could require cutting it up, and then the next step of cooking. It could be a two-step process, but it has to have a result of going from inedible to edible, at least with regards to foods. For the Rambam, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say it has to go from inedible to edible. It has to lead to a change where it's a different entity. It has a different characteristic, whether it's completely grinding something up so that it's very, very, it's very fine, or it's through a process where it's then ultimately going to get cooked. It has to be a significant change in the object. That's different than the first opinion that we saw of the Ran, which is that it's purely about going from inedible to edible. Right? So we had one opinion which said that it has to go from inedible to edible, and then the Rambam here is...
And we haven't yet dealt with how the Ran would learn the case of the wood chips.
Well, for the wood chips, at least with regards to foods, that's why I was limiting it to foods. With regards to food, it's going from inedible to edible. It's possible for other things, it's just the change, the way we view something as a significant change would be different. So the wood chips there, it's part of a process to then use the wood chips for fire. So
He doesn't hold specifically that tochen means going from edible.
Well, it is with regards to food. With regards to food,
some other specific thing.
It's possible. I don't know, but it's possible. His language is that if it's edible, so then you don't violate tochen. But I think you're right. It is possible. We don't know. It's impossible to infer anything from what he's saying. Fine. So we only have a few minutes. So just to summarize and try to conclude, we saw one opinion which says that in order to violate tochen, based on the Gemara in the Bavli says that when you violate tochen grinding when it's with beets, and some of the Rishonim, some of the earlier commentators say that it has to be specifically beets. So one opinion said that why is it specifically beets? Because for beets, you need to cut it up and then cook it in order for it to become edible. So it has to go from inedible to edible, and that's viewed as a significant change. That process is a significant change to violate tochen. And you need a significant change in order to violate tochen, in order to violate grinding. The second opinion was the Rambam. The Rambam says that in order to violate tochen, it has to be that it changes. It doesn't have to go from inedible to edible, but it has to have a significant change in its property. So either you just cut it up into fine flour or whatever it is, something very, very small pieces, or the subcategory of that is that it's with part of a process where it will then change. It's part of a process where you cut it up and then you then cook it or you do something else to it. That's the Rambam. And this is all within the Bavli. To conclude, if you go back to the first page, there's a Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi is how we passing like Rabbi Gabay, which is totally different than what we've been saying until now. The Yerushalmi says, in source 2, Hahein deshachak tuma. If you grind tuma, tuma is shuma, tuma is garlic. It says as follows, Kad shachak b'meduchasa mishim tochen. When you grind it up in a meduchasa, it's a
grinder.
In a grinder, but there's a better word.
Garlic grinder.
Garlic grinder, fine. So then you violate tochen. You have violated tochen. Many pick up on this Yerushalmi, including Rishonim, and they say that garlic is edible before you grind it. It is edible before you grind it, and so they say from the Yerushalmi is definitely disagreeing, at least with the opinions that we've mentioned until now. With all the opinions that we mentioned until now, maybe not the Rambam, but with the Ran. The Rishalmi says, just at face value, the opinion of the Rishalmi is that as long as it's edible, you violate tochen, you violate grinding. So, yes.
Maybe the Rishalmi is just saying that, the Rishalmi is saying that when you use a grinder, it's tochen, but if you would grind it without a grinder, so then the implication would be that it would be okay.
It's the grinding itself.
Right, so, okay, it sounds from the Yerushalmi that he's not necessarily disagreeing with the other opinions that we saw. He's talking about a separate case.
But at least it's edible. At least the Yerushalmi holds that there's a violation even.
But maybe the violation is the use of the grinder and not the
grinding.
But why would the use of the grinder be a violation of tochen? It would be a violation maybe of like uvda d'chol or something. But why would that be the violation of tochen?
So that's a good question.
But it says that it's tochen. It's a violation of tochen.
Yes, so it's tochen. Using a grinder somehow makes it tochen. It doesn't mean that he's disagreeing with the Rambam.
But at least when it's edible, it's still a violation.
But they might agree to that, that somehow you could have tochen when using a grinder.
Okay, it's possible. We'll get to it. We don't have time now, but we'll get to it. It's possible that there's a limitation on this Yerushalmi, that it's only when you grind something when it turns into something which is very fine. Which is used in terms of, it's called dak, very, very thin. Because then it's a significant change. Maybe that's what you mean, that if you use a grinder. But we'll get to this. We don't have time. But we'll continue this.